Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. The uns, the unavoidable, the uninhibited, the unconventional, the underrated, the unjust, the unsaid, the unbelievable. You get it by now, underdog stuff. And we do this every week. Shout out to all the underdogs out there listening in Harlem, in New York City, and around the world by way of WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. Proud to call it the home of the Gregory Neesmith Show. If you're in your house right now and you're about to go run some errands on this sunny Sunday afternoon, you can get in your car, or you can get in that Uber or that taxi. Ask them to turn to 90.3 FM on the radio dial if you're riding around the Big Apple. And if you're at home, going to pull out your computer, get your laptop up, go to www.whcr.org, where we live stream the broadcast. So that way, no matter where you are in the world, you can get all of the diverse voices and sounds of this radio station wherever you are. And I know that some of you, while you enjoy listening, you prefer to watch. And as a result, we got the Facebook Live popping too. Go over to facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. That's GregoryNeesmith. And you'll see me and you'll see your fellow underdogs all watching and commenting. And I do want to give a shout out to old school talking to people. Give a brother a call. 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Because you know what we do here? We get personal about the news and the culture. And to take you on that journey every week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, business consultant, leadership coach, political commentator from time to time, activist, and just overall in the spreading special stuff. And grateful to get to do that with you every Sunday on the live show, and then every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the podcast that you can find on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher, all the places you listen to podcasts. What's been on my mind this weekend, this week, this new year? Countries, class, calendars, that they don't equal character. That's what's been on my mind. You know, I, coming up, used to believe certain things about the world. You know, you grow up, you watch TV. I'm growing up, I see certain movies, I hear what people in my family and my neighborhood say, and I take on certain beliefs about the world because all I know is what I know. And then over time, especially as an adult, I get to spend a lot of my years unlearning some of the stuff I learned as a kid. You know, that's, I think that's a journey that we all end up going on. And so I remember things like, if someone is wealthy, if someone has a good job, that means that they're probably a person of good character, of good morals. Someone to look up to. And then at the same time, I've been in situations, or I remember learning that someone with less money, someone who might not have what is considered such a great job, that That's because they're not working hard enough. Maybe they don't have the right stuff. But then as I got older, I got to unlearn some of that. Because what I have learned is that someone can be rich. Someone can have a great job like President of the United States and still be nasty. Can still be someone I might question their character. And I've also learned that someone can have less money and be kind-hearted. And when it comes to something like being charitable, giving from what limited amount of resources they may have, I've learned that oftentimes people with less money are more empathetic and give more as a percentage of their income to others. Also, I remember coming up during the years of crack, war on drugs, and constantly seeing in the news how some of the young adults from around the way that use drugs were criminals, predators, bad people. And yet growing up at the same time, when I would get to the age of around 17 or 18 and go off to college, I would see young adults about the same age as some from around the way using drugs too. But they were considered exploring life, and it was seen as a rite of passage. You see the pattern developing here? Affluent college students that use drugs are just exploring. They're coming of age. Not so affluent, and oftentimes folks that look like me, when they're in their teenage years using drugs, they're criminals. And addicts, thugs, can't control themselves. And if I broaden it out, because that's just people I'm talking about, but let's talk about some countries. Imagine if a country had rules for segregation under the assumption that some of its citizens were not equal in mind, body, or soul, or spirit. That if I told you there was a country that believed in rules like Jim Crow, or believed in rules like slavery when that country was first founded, I might call that country a sugar honey iced tea hole. For those who know what I just did there, take the first letter of each word from sugar, honey, ice, and tea. Then add hole in the end. You know what I'm doing there. So if I told you there was a country that enslaved people, then segregated them, and then now incarcerates them at rates higher than they do the general public, I might contend that that place is a sugar, honey, iced tea whole country. And we could debate that. But what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't claim that everybody in that country is a bad person. Because as hard as it may be sometimes, I do try to take everyone as an individual. And so I will not indict that everyone in America is a bad person just because America had some destructive, disrespectful, and disgusting laws and ways about it from its founding up until now. Because underdogs, even though many may try to do it, my requests, my ask, I'm just, please don't fall into the trap. Class doesn't equal character. Country that you're from doesn't equal your character. And oh yeah, I did say calendar doesn't equal calendar, character too. I gotta figure out how I'm gonna weave that all together. But I'm talking about the idea that it's January and the calendar has changed. It's a new year. And a lot of folks got that new year, new me, new you, new this, new that. And what I'm saying is, even a change in calendar is not going to be the trigger to you, if you want to improve your character, your resolutions and things like that. But I'll tie it all together as the show unfolds. And I'm sure in future weeks we'll talk more about class not equaling character, because clearly you can be wealthy and have a good job, like be president of the United States, and I can say that you have questionable character. And at the same time, someone could be using opioids, and I just have the compassion to say that maybe they're just having some troubles, need some medical care, help them with their addiction, instead of when someone was using crack, me calling them a thug and a predator and a criminal. Because I don't believe that class equals one's mental and moral qualities. And I hope you don't either. So today, as we go through the show, I'm going to talk about it, but not in the way that everybody else talks about it. Because I know our president was acting up again. But you can go to CNN or Fox News to get the minute-by-minute reporting of that, coverage of that. But we'll talk about it, but in a way that's underdog stuff style. Because we're going to get personal, as always, about the news and the culture. And today I want to talk about country equaling character. And I do want to talk about, because of the new year being here, later in the show, I want to talk about how the calendar isn't going to save your character either. And that while the new year, new you, and new resolutions sounds good, I believe there's some more practical ways, more useful ways for us as underdogs to get our reset button pushed for this new year. I'm going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about how hard it is to be special. How hard it is to think about how special you are in the context of what's going on, especially when we have a president who has said some things that at best were disparaging to the way countries are run, and at worst was an indictment that bad people come from countries in Haiti, countries in Africa and Haiti. And for those who want to defend the president, because I know every now and then we get an occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. Context is important. And so know that Trump's comments come in the context of someone who once said that a judge, an Indiana judge, an American judge, couldn't. Donald Trump said that judge, I believe his name was Judge Curiel, a judge from Indiana, could not preside over his case about Trump University because that judge, who's an American, his parents were from Mexico. And so if you've forgotten, Donald Trump has often said things that are, as Paul Ryan would say, the textbook definition of racist.
Claiming a person can't do their job because of their race is sort of like the textbook definition of a racist comment. I think that should be absolutely disavowed. It's absolutely unacceptable. But do I believe that Hillary Clinton is the answer? No, I do not. Do I believe that Hillary Clinton is going to be the answer to solving these problems? I do not. I believe that we have more common ground on the policy issues of the day, and we have more likelihood of getting our policies enacted with him than we do with her. But I do absolutely disavow those comments. I think they're wrong. I don't think they're right-headed. And the thinking behind it is something I don't even personally relate to. But at the end of the day, this is about ideas. This is about moving our agenda forward, and that's why we're moving the way we're moving. Manny.
Who remembers that? It's about 2 years ago, Donald Trump saying, as Paul Ryan, that's not me saying it, because, you know, a lot of people go, oh, the Democrats, they just be overreaching, bring up the race card and calling people racist. That's Paul Ryan, leader of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, saying that Donald Trump has at one point said something that is the textbook definition of racist. I'm going to take a quick break. I want to get in the mix with Underdog so I know who are following along on Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, because you know I love reading your comments, interacting with you. So during this break, I'm going to check out the Facebook Live and see what's being said. Also, Mr. Telephone Man, there's nothing wrong with the line. If you call me, I'll pick up every time. Call the brother at 212-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. That's part of the fun of having a live show. We can do this together. We still got another over an hour to go. Let's make it happen. When we come back, I want to talk about this whole idea of some countries being sugar honey iced tea holes in the context of our president talking about how great he wants to make America again. And it got me to thinking. And we'll talk about that and more Underdog stuff, the unavoidable, the unbelievable, the unjust, the unsaid, the uninhibited after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of Underdog stuff. Shout out to all the underdogs who come along on the ride and my people every week. Shout out to Daryl Tillman, who I see on the Facebook Live. And Daryl says, POTUS acting up. That's a bit of an understatement. That's fair. I'm not mad at you. I think he's definitely acting up and more. I see what you did there. Daryl also says, dignity trumps policy. No pun intended. Although, if you did intend the pun, Daryl, I'm not mad at you. Because, as Paul Ryan said in that clip I played before the break, Paul Ryan felt like Trump had said something or said things that were the textbook definition of racist. However, Paul said getting a Republican in the White House was more important than the qualities that we normally, or standards we normally hold for someone in that high office. And then Deidre, shout out to Deidre. The Travel Family says, good morning from Cali. Hey, Greg. Hey, and I say hey back to you too. Thanks for checking in. What's the weather like out in Cali? Make me and any of the underdogs who are listening in the Northeast of America, or just listening in any countries or cities where it's cold right now, make us jealous. What's the weather like in Cali? I almost don't want to know, but I'm going to ask anyway, just because I'm a glutton for punishment. Appreciate you for checking in. Shout out to Deidre. All right, let's get back to the show. And Deidre says it's warm, 75 to 80 degrees. I shouldn't have asked her that. Shout out to Deidre. And shout out to all the folks listening in Cali. Y'all enjoying the good weather. And also, obviously, thoughts and prayers to folks who've been impacted by. There's been mudslides out there, all types of fires and just some natural disasters that have been, I'm sure, taxing on folks. It's been a tough year with weather, with the hurricanes in the Caribbean and in the South and along the East Coast and stuff going on in Cali. So shout out to Deidre. Shout out to all the folks in Cali who are listening and appreciate you. All right. Let's get into this here. It's hard to feel special. One of the reasons why I started this show and started the Underdog Stuff consulting, coaching, and community company overall was because I had this calling, this curiosity, this passion for trying to figure out how we as underdogs rediscover how special we are in the world. And as you know, there's a lot of work that we all get to do on the inside. Stuff I've been working on for years about things I made up about myself that aren't true, dealing with traumatic issues from when I was a child, all those things I go through, you go through, we go through. And that's one piece. And again, it's hard to feel special, to feel like we're enough, to feel like we matter. And that's one battle. As they say, the battle going on inside of each of us. But then there's also a battle going on outside too. I remember being young in my career in marketing and general management, running businesses here locally in the U.S. and around the world. And I remember being at work, oftentimes not feeling special. Because I got the sense that I didn't look the part. If I wanted to be CEO of a Fortune 100 company, I felt like I didn't look the part. I was black. I was 5'11". Most CEOs of companies, most presidents over 6 feet tall. Also, I was young. I was in my early 20s. Most people are more seasoned, older as they get into leadership positions, especially in corporate America. And oftentimes I felt out of place, which I think is normal, right? Whenever you're in a situation on a team in an environment where you're not like everybody else, I think it's natural for you, me to feel uncomfortable. So there's nothing unique about that. But what was, I believe, troublesome when I felt like I didn't belong in this corporate setting was that there were times I felt undervalued, underestimated, because I didn't look the part or fit the norm. And when I think about the sugar, honey, iced tea hole comment from, you know, reported that Donald Trump said in reference to discussions about what's going to be the America's immigration policy going forward, I got to thinking, this comes from a man who believes that America gets to return to being great again, which means that there's an assumption that it was great before, not so great now. And I actually think the whole premise is faulty. I don't even want to go backwards in terms of what was great before, what wasn't. Oftentimes, I believe things get better with time. And so I'm trying to figure out how we can be the best we can be. But remember earlier in the show when I talked about things I learned growing up that I had to unlearn when I got older? Like, I learned when I was younger that people who were wealthy, people who had good jobs, had good character, affluent college students, they were exploring when it came to drugs. My people from around the way were criminals when they were exploring drugs. Obviously, I learned that that's not true. Class doesn't equal character. There's a man in the White House who is wealthy and has a good job who has questionable character. There's people who don't have as much money as Donald Trump, but give a higher percentage of the money and resources they have to people in their lives, to family members, to charity. And as we know, just using black and white, black Americans, white Americans consume and use drugs at the same rate, although they are incarcerated at higher rates if they are a minority versus a majority. Class doesn't equal character. Also, countries don't equal character either, right? Any American who's over 50 years old lived in America during Jim Crow, segregation, a time where this country, both in its laws and its culture, deemed black Americans not really full citizens in this country. Does that mean every American over 50 is a bad person? Does that mean that America is a sugar, honey, iced tea hole? But let me get back to my point, though, about making America great again. Because oftentimes, when I think back to even my work situation, I don't mind someone being challenged, confronted, having a difficult time with me being different or not looking the part. But I do have a problem with being underestimated or undervalued. That someone who's 6 foot tall and a white male is great, and someone who's me is not. And I think we do something similar when it comes to how we describe America versus Haiti and versus countries in Africa. See, things can be different, but it doesn't mean that one is better than the other, or one is great and one is bad. But there's some things we need to unlearn, I believe, underdogs as Americans. I was talking to a friend the other day, shout out to Asha Davis, who helped launch this show, and she's Canadian. And one day we were talking about the topic of America wants to get back to a status as the greatest country in the world. And as a Canadian, she said to me, "What makes you think America is the greatest country in the world?" And part of me was like, "Well, I don't. That's a good question. I've been told that America is the greatest place in the world, and a lot of us have been told that. And at the same time, I know that over 60% of you listening right now don't even have a passport. So most of us haven't even gone any other place to know whether this is the greatest country on earth. So before we start talking about who are the sugar, honey, iced tea hole countries and who aren't, and we're great, or we need to be great again, or we were great before, I would offer that we should probably even consider unlearning that we are the greatest country, and that that means by default the others are not. And maybe the mindset should be we are a good country. And guess what? There's also other good countries out there too. Take a quick break. I believe we have a call on the line. Name, where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Deborah from Manhattan.
Hey, Deborah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I think before you go any further, I think there's one thing that black people need to be told. Some black people need to be told. But I hear this a lot. When they're talking about what they wanted to be or what they were, or like when you were talking about being a CEO, wanted to be a CEO, and you were 5'11", and you were black. And then I hear this other thing that they pin on to it, and they say about themselves, "Well, I can't help it if I'm black," as if there's something wrong with it. And I've also heard this, like, with people who are interviewed and having some of the most adorable children, sons sitting next to them, like 5, 7 years old, and he'll say, "Well, I mean, you know, this is what he is born with. This is what he's stuck with. He's black." And I'm thinking to myself, you know, he's already on his way down. Because if he has someone like him for a father, and he really doesn't mean any harm, but it's something to me, I think that when someone puts a camera on people, sometimes they get really stupid. They don't really stop to think about what they said. They already want to make you feel that way, so why would you even go there? I mean, if people spend most of their time trying to tear you down, there must be something right with you.
That is a very good point. And you remind me of that saying, when somebody's pointing a finger, there's three of them pointing right back at them.
Yeah.
And you are right. We get to remind ourselves and other people, like, there's nothing wrong with us. We are more than enough. We are good people, no matter what may be being said out there in the news and in the culture.
You know, like, don't ever say, well, I can't help that I'm black. Really?
Yeah, that...
That's if there's something wrong. And yet, people go to stores and they need tanning solutions. And you know what I'm saying? It's just so crazy on its face.
No, and I appreciate you saying that. And to all the underdogs out there, it's all good. You are, whether you're black, whether you're a woman, whether you're both, whether you're homosexual, like, there's, you are more than enough. You are good.
Yeah. You have a great day.
Hey, Deborah, I appreciate you.
Bye.
Bye. That was Deborah from Manhattan letting us know that to remember, we are more than enough. Because, you know, she reminds me of that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. You got a better chance of recovering from a scar or a broken leg than you do from someone telling you that you're not smart or that you'll never make it or because you look a certain way, life's not going to work out for you. So I appreciate her reminding us that we all get to affirm that we are more than enough. And we're special. That's one of the reasons why we created this show, right? To rediscover how special we are in the world. And I know it's tough because the world sometimes throws stuff at you like bad people live in countries in Africa and Haiti, and we know that's not true. People want to make America great again. I'm still wondering, were we great and other people bad? How great were we? It made me think of this clip that I found from a show called Newsroom. And the actor in the show is getting questioned about how great is America. And this is how that clip goes. As I cue that up for you in just a second, I hope that it plays because I wanted to get that clip and had to edit out some of the cursing too.
Why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis, freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way. Well, the New York Jets. No, I'm going to hold you to an answer on that. What makes America the greatest country in the world? Well, Lewis and Sharon said it. Diversity and opportunity and freedom and freedom. I'll hold you to an answer on that. I'm not letting you go back to the airport without answering the question. Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing. You don't look satisfied.
One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you. What about the people? Why is
America not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes. Let's talk about...
Fine.
Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so smart, how come they lose so always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite?
Let's make America great again. Well, that's under the assumption that we've been great. And I believe that at any time we're likely doing the best we can. But I would again offer, it's okay to say that we're a good country, a growing country. But to say that we're the best in the world and that other places are sugar, honey, iced tea holes, well, that might be a stretch. Now, you know how I roll. That was a clip from a TV show. And I was like, I like the spirit of it, right? Because it challenges our thoughts about great, great again, the greatest. We already know that class doesn't equal character. And I want to make the point that the country you come from doesn't equal your character either. And I had to look this up because I'm like, those stats, what? I've been told for most of the years I've been on this planet that I live in the greatest country in the world. So, of course, those other places are sugar, honey, iced tea holes because they don't compare to where I live. That's what I've been told. And for the first 20 or so years of my life, I didn't even have a passport. I couldn't even go verify anything because I had never left this country. So I'm not passing any judgment on you out there, especially you Trump supporters that accidentally find the show. But I'm saying you might want to unlearn some things. This country doesn't equal character. So I went and searched the internet. Shout out to my producer, Megan, who helped find some of these facts. Because I was like, really? Are we really not the greatest? Because sometimes some humility can help our character. So the economy. This was some data from, I believe, 1 or 2 years ago, unemployment in the developed world. America has unemployment, as most people know, because Trump talks about it all the time lately, of under 5%. Did you know that's only the 10th best unemployment rate amongst some of the richest countries in the world? Income inequality. While we may be one of the richest countries in the world, we have one of the widest gaps between the upper class and those who don't make as much money as those in the upper class. Healthcare. Again, right? We're the greatest. We spend the most money per person on healthcare of any country in the world. Yet, we're not so great when it comes to life expectancy. Not so great when it comes to chronic illness. Again, compared to other countries in the rest of the world. Guns! We got lots of them. Not necessarily the place I was looking to be number one. Immigration. It's an interesting one. We have one of the largest immigration populations in the world. However, when it comes to letting in those who really need refuge, need help, we have one of the lowest percentage of intake of refugees from around the world. So much for that. We take in your sick, your tired, your poor. We pollute. Second most, well, CO2 emissions. Second worst offender of that in the world behind China. Just a couple facts. I also saw Bloomberg did a study of best countries in the world. We came in 29th. USA Today did a study. We came in 7th. I say all that to say, regardless of whether it's 29, number 2, number 7, number 6, they aren't number 1. Class doesn't equal character. And neither does the country you come from. And quiet is kept. While it may be debatable about how great we are, I'm no longer in the camp of this blanket statement of that we're the greatest. And maybe if we had some humility about it all, we wouldn't even think of conflating people with being bad, even if we believe that their governments are questionable. Just like I'm not going to say all Americans were bad in the 1800s. All Americans were bad in the 1900s because of slavery and Jim Crow in America. But I will say the governments were sugar, honey, iced tea holes for wanting to enslave Americans and also take away their rights during Jim Crow. So I want to pause here and just check in with you, underdogs. Because it's hard to rediscover how special we are in the world when you got the battle we all have going on the inside. And we got folks trying to confuse class and countries with our character. How you feeling? What's next for you? How you feeling? What's next for you? Checking on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith. That's GregoryNeesmith. Because every Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. is the Gregory Neesmith Show. A special delivery underdog stuff. The unavoidable. Like what's been going on with our president and immigration. We talk about the unconventional. Like maybe we get to unlearn that we're the greatest country in the world. There's other countries out there that are also pretty good, pretty cool. And every country has people of high character. And it has some people who have questionable character. Talk about the uninhibited. Shout out to Deidre and Daryl. I see them going back and forth on the Facebook Live. Daryl says to Deidre, we don't need to hear how nice it is in Cali. We're suffering here in the Northeast United States. Deidre says, sorry. Sorry, boo. My bad. Don't be sorry, Deidre. Enjoy that 70 to 80 degree weather out there in Cali. We appreciate underdogs far and wide. Those listening in Harlem and New York City. Those listening in Cali. Those listening in Pennsylvania. My home state. Shout out to the Eagles. Folks know I've been boycotting the NFL in terms of watching it, but I do follow the scores and everything. And of course, I was happy to see that my hometown team, the Philadelphia Eagles, got a victory yesterday. Shout out to Sixers, Phillies, Flyers, and Eagles. And shout out to Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Darryl also says on the Facebook Live, Greg, the president has a sugar honey iced tea whole mouth. It's special because I don't know of another like it in the world. It definitely is special, especially bad. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how I'm feeling and what's next for me, because this news about immigration, about saying racist things about people from different countries in the world, especially those countries and a continent that is predominantly black, has me feeling a certain type of way. And also talk about what's next. Like, how am I going to move forward here? And I'd like to hear, what are you going to do? Right? Because as Obama said a few years ago, don't boo, vote. And to me, that's one of the things that's next on my agenda in terms of how I'm going to move forward from this moment in time and how I will be attempting to make things better in 2018. But we'll talk more about that after the break. And then also, we've talked about class. We've talked about countries. Doesn't equal your character. I want to talk about the calendar. A lot of y'all out here all messed up because it's a new year, thinking you got to do this new year, new me stuff. Y'all writing resolutions and then wondering why it ain't working out. We talk about it because you know what we do here. This ain't CNN. This ain't Fox News. They cover the news. I cover it too. But we're going to commentate about it. We're going to coach about it. We're going to get personal about it. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. More of your comments, your phone calls, and more underdog stuff after this quick music break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Special delivery of underdog stuff. The uns. The unavoidable. The unbelievable. The unconventional. The underrated. The unjust. The unwavering. The unsaid. Underdog stuff. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Today's theme, it's been what's been on my mind. Class, countries, and calendars doesn't equal character. A lot of folks getting it twisted. Also, shout out to Deborah from Manhattan. She went old school. I love it when people go old school. Mr. Telephone Man, there's nothing wrong with my line. If you call me, I'm going to pick up every time at 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Shout out to New Edition. I might be dating myself, but one of my favorite bands of all time. Shout out to folks listening and watching on Facebook Live. Appreciate you. Shout out to Deidre, to Daryl, to Keon. A couple of the comments I've seen so far about the read. Keon, always on point with his commentary and what he sees going on in the world. Read his comments shortly. Appreciate all of his underdogs, my people. And even the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds a show. I hope you find it today, because it may be time to unlearn that we need to make America great again. Maybe it was or wasn't great, but I'm starting to question, was it even the greatest? Keon says, the stain of the founding of this country, referring to America, removes it from the greatest country conversation. Keon also says, ain't no one greater than the other. No country is greater than the other. And I also want to make the distinction. We're allowed to now have opinions on things. We're allowed to rate stuff. I have no problem getting into a debate about whether or not during slavery, during times like Jim Crow, we can debate whether or not America was a sugar, honey, iced tea whole country. But what I'm not going to debate is whether or not everybody in America at that time was a sugar, honey, iced tea whole. Because oftentimes the decisions of the elite, the decisions of the governing folks, does not represent the character of all of its people. And so a country can be governed in a way that we may say is good or bad, questioning whether it's the greatest, not the greatest, but don't go for the people. Shout out to Keon for checking in and letting us know what's on his mind. And Daryl also says, this is what I love about the Facebook Live, about the phone calls, about the live shows, that underdogs and my people get to interact with each other. Daryl also says, Keon is spot on. If you take nothing away from today's conversation, please take away from the fact that we get to unlearn that class, that country, or the calendar, they don't equal. It doesn't equal our character. I can show you a rich person with a good job who has questionable character, like Trump. And I can show you someone with less money that gives more of a higher percentage of the resources and money that they have to help family or to help the community with charitable giving. I can show you that class doesn't equal character. There's teenagers around the way who've used drugs, but have been labeled or become criminals or predators. And then if I just go across town and all of a sudden that teenager is affluent and in college, their use of drugs is all of a sudden a rite of passage. And one of them being an explorer and one of them coming of age. Because class doesn't equal character. And I can show you some governments where they've done some questionable things in the past, currently, and I'm sure do some questionable things in the future. And in every one of those countries, I can show you people of high character, low character, and everything in between. But their country does not equal their character. And we're going to talk about the calendar because we're going to get more personal. This calendar switch from one year to a new year doesn't just mean all of a sudden you're just going to pop up and get some resolutions and get some better character either. We'll talk about that. But I want to know, how you feeling? It's hard to feel special in a world where folks are saying because of where you come from or the color of your skin or the gender you are, your sexuality, your age, saying that something's wrong with you, that the other things are not only better, they're the greatest, and that you're a sugar honey iced tea hole. You know what's next for me? Because I don't want to just talk only gloom and doom and about what's so bad and what's so troublesome about this world. I'm going to talk about some things I'm going to do to get through a weekend where I feel saddened by the fact that 70% of Republicans still have a favorable approval rating of a man who may be living out their policies, but in a way that to me isn't honorable or respectful or high character. So one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to consume less news, which is a challenge for me because one of the things I do here every week is talk about the news and the culture. But when I say consume less news, I'm going to not watch cable news as often because I normally watch MSNBC, Fox, CNN to get a feel for what's being shared with the masses. What are the sound bites? What are the stories and narratives that they're telling? What is it that you're consuming every week? And that hopefully I can come provide an underdog stuff perspective, an unconventional perspective, an unsaid perspective, get personal about the news and the culture perspective. But I will consume less TV news and instead read more, because often I found that articles have a little bit more information. I can consume it at my own pace. I normally read something once and then I move on. Unlike when I watch the news, they just keep feeding me the same thing in different ways over and over and over again. That's got to have an impact on you. I know it has an impact on me. What's next for me is less news. That's for my emotional health. What's next for you? Also, I am going to make a push both on these airwaves and locally in the community to get folks registered to vote. Because it is a part of having things work out differently. One of the ways you can obstruct within this system, this game we have called a republic, called a country, called America, is this idea of if there's a different party, independents or Democrats in the House of Representatives and the Senate, that they can slow down the president. They can make the president be more into compromise. So I want to make sure this year I'm pushing for, you're pushing for getting folks registered to vote. And for those who are already registered, which is a lot of us, to keep them engaged, to actually want to go show up in the polls in the midterm elections. Also, there's a youth program that's been on my mind for years. And I think this is finally the year that I get to stop talking about it and actually do it. And help youth get exposed to different career opportunities and different life skills that I feel like oftentimes the public school systems are letting our youth down. And I remember it was hard for me growing up in the Philly public school system and then seeing what some other people were learning in other schools and other neighborhoods. And then lastly, I'm going to be checking folks. And you can check them too next time somebody says, we live in the greatest country in the world. You tell them, we don't. We live in a place that's doing the best it can. We live in a place that has some good things and bad things, but we're not the greatest. We're not the only country with freedom. We're not the only country that has health care. We're not the only country that lets immigrants into the country. We're not the only ones. So check folks. Let them know. Bloomberg had us ranked as the 29th best country. USA Today, 7th. Check folks when they say something. Give them an opportunity to unlearn. And oh, by the way, a lot of y'all don't even have passports. You can't even verify whether or not this is the greatest country on the earth because you haven't been to other ones. And I don't say that with any judgment. I didn't get a passport until I was in my mid-20s. So for most of my life, I just had to believe what was said and what I saw on TV. But get yourself a passport. Almost 2/3 of us out there don't. Underdogs, you'll be surprised how your perspective may change if you see some other place. Hey, you might decide to move someplace else too, and I wouldn't be mad at you. Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, I just want to share some stuff I've been finding out about immigration lately and some words that have been thrown around like lottery systems and TPS and acronyms, and I just want to share with you some of the stuff I found out about it just to put this whole Sugar Honey Iced Tea whole comment in perspective as to why it even came up now. And then when we come back, I want to finish off with a little bit of the new year, new you stuff, and about how don't let this calendar switch trick you into thinking that it's going to somehow impact your calendar, your character, because there's some things that you can do besides New Year's resolutions that'll really be helpful. And of course, as always, we'll take more of your Facebook Live comments. Phone lines are open at 212-650-6903. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick. Taking a stand for minorities and specifically black folks and inequalities in the justice system and especially in policing. Who was Citizen of the Year, according to GQ, and someone who fought and continues to fight for underdogs. We're going to take a quick break and then more of today's episode. The theme is countries, class, and calendars doesn't equal character. More of a special delivery of underdog stuff after this break. And your comments too. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. A special delivery of underdog stuff. I had to cut the break short. You know why I cut the break short? I should have got a sip of water before I cut the break short. But I saw that Asha Davis, award-winning advertising executive, comedy writer, stand-up comic, and one of the founders of making this whole thing work, making the underdog stuff, Gregory Neesmith Show, a reality. I saw her pop up on the Facebook Live, and I had to shout her out and say, what up, Asha Davis? And I also cut the break short because while she's on, I just wanted to acknowledge her and let her know that one of the inspirations for today's conversation was when we were having a conversation before a show about America being a superpower, being the greatest country on earth, and her perspective as Canadian challenging me, going, are you sure? Y'all the greatest country on earth? Y'all don't even have universal health care. Are you sure y'all the greatest country on earth? Y'all got more guns floating around than people. Are you sure you're the greatest country on earth? Have you been to other countries? So shout out to Asha for helping me and us have an unconventional conversation about, are we really the greatest? And so, underdogs, get yourself some friends that have unique perspectives, that are good people, have a lot of talent, and also aren't even from here. And also, get your passports. I've said that, but I'm saying it again and again and again. And shout out to Asha Davis. Appreciate her as always. All right. Where were we? Oh, I just wanted to share with you some stuff I've learned about this whole immigration debate, which is why this has all been in the news lately. There's DACA stuff going on. There's border security. Are we going to build the wall? And the past few days, I've been hearing some terms that I was like, I don't really know exactly what they mean by that. Like, there was this term being thrown around called TPS. And I was like, what's TPS? Temporary Protected Status. And what this is it allows immigrants to live and work legally in the U.S. It protects people from deportation that would face extreme hardship in their own country. For example, countries that have been devastated by natural disasters or armed conflict, we often provide them residence and protected status in the United States, even though they aren't technically citizens. They're here, documented legally, and from countries all over the world. And so I was like, what are some of those countries? So I looked into it. Shout out to Megan, my producer, who found some of this information. And Haiti is one of those countries that is under the temporary protected status. And it was announced in November 2017 that this status of protection would end this summer, or in the summer of 2019. It's been in effect since January 2010. It affects about 58,700 Haitians who are here in America now. And they came here after the devastating earthquake that took place in Haiti. And now they are saying, the U.S. is claiming that the dangerous conditions that caused that earthquake no longer exist, and that thousands of Haitians should be ready to just go back to Haiti. Although in the same breath, Donald Trump just called Haiti a sugar, honey, iced tea whole country. That doesn't all jive. Also, we have folks from Somalia who are here under the temporary protection status. And it goes on and on. There's several other countries that are part of that. And it got me to thinking, you know, there's been a lot of call for people to, the president needs to come out and apologize. President needs to say sorry. Whether he meant that the countries were bad, but the people were good, or whether he meant that the people were bad and the country was bad. Either way, people are like, he needs to apologize. I'm going to go old school for a second here. And old school meaning older than me. I'm going to go my parents old school. I don't care what you say, but you better do better. I don't care what you say, do something about it. Action over talk. Now, that's old school. I will say, an apology is nice, but don't apologize to the Haitians for the sugar, honey, iced tea whole comment. How about get a policy solution for those 58,700 Haitians who've been here under the temporary protection status that's supposed to end in a few years? How about you solve that? And then if you want to throw on, I'm sorry, cool. Throw on some policy. What they say, love is a verb. Don't talk to me about love. Don't talk to me about apologies. Do something. Or about the folks from Somalia whose temporary protection status ends in the fall of 2018. Don't say sorry. Do something about it. I want policy over apologies. I mean, I want both. But if I have to choose, Donald Trump can act like he's sorry instead of saying that he is. And then I heard this term called lotteries. I'm like, lotteries? What's a lottery? Been hearing the word lottery on the news lately when it comes to immigration. And that was in reference to something called the Diversity Immigration Visa Program, also known as the Green Card Lottery. It's a program that tries to diversify the U.S. population. The program grants about 50,000 green cards every year to people from countries that don't normally send very many immigrants here. Sounds like Donald Trump wants those people to come from Norway instead of Africa, countries in Africa or Haiti. But that's what the current description is of this thing called the lottery system that you may have heard about or keep hearing about in the news lately. So keep your eye out on the TPS and on the Diversity Immigrant Visa Program. Apologies are helpful. Apologies are a part of restoring some type of breakdown in a relationship. However, faith without work, as they say, isn't the good move. And so I want some policy over apologies in reference to supporting folks from Africa, folks from Haiti, folks from around the world. Because there's folks of good character in all countries. All right. We'll keep an eye on that over the next couple months. See what happens. Now, we've talked class. We've talked countries. And let me just check the Facebook Live one more time before I move on to now talking calendar doesn't equal character. You know, we get personal about the news and the culture here. And this time of year, early January of every year, there's a lot of things on my mind. But New Year's resolutions is not, I repeat, is not one of them. But I know that may make me unique. Because a lot of folks out there, a lot of underdogs, y'all out there talking about new year, new me. Give me some new resolutions. Get my character up. Get my weight down. Stop smoking. Better with my money. Underdogs, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. Class doesn't equal character. Countries don't equal character. And calendar changes don't equal character either. Just because it's a new year, it's highly unlikely that you can snap your fingers and all of a sudden be a new person. And I'm not saying that to deflate anybody. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying, a calendar change doesn't equal new character. I wish it could, but it doesn't. And the truth is, for those who are into this new year, new you, new resolutions thing, I just want you to know now, don't say I didn't tell you, 80%, according to U.S. News and World Report's research, 80% of the new resolutions fail by mid-February. So by the time you're saying I love you to your Valentine's, you're going to be saying goodbye to better you. You're going to be saying goodbye to your gym membership. You're going to be saying goodbye to lowering your credit card debt. You're going to be saying goodbye, or you're going to be saying hello again to smoking. 80% of new resolutions. Done. Failed. Finito. By mid-February. Another 10% of them done by the end of the year. And shout out to the few. Shout out to the few of you that will actually be able to make it happen and make it through it. But you know how we do here. I'm not just going to say that there's gloom and doom and that just let you fail on your resolutions. That wouldn't be very rediscovering how special you are together. That wouldn't be very underdog stuff like me, would it? So I want to share with you a couple things that I've done before that have given me a foundation to actually build on and then add some resolutions on that actually do have a higher chance of working out. But first, I'm going to take a quick break and then come back with more underdog stuff, talking about calendar doesn't equal character. And I'll talk about it's all good. Your New Year's resolutions are going to fail in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But I got something for you for when they do fail. Or just scrap them all together right now and do these three things. And I guarantee you there's likely or a higher likelihood of success with your resolutions going forward. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. The uns, the unavoidable, the unbelievable, the uninhibited, the underrated, the unjust, the unsaid, the uninhibited. You get it by now, underdog stuff. And as always, to take you on the journey every week is your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, coach, consultant, political commentator from time to time. Also, founder and CEO of the Underdog Stuff Company. And we do the live show here every Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Harlem at WACR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. And for those who can't make the live show, we have a podcast that comes out with new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on iTunes, Podomatic, on Google Play, on Stitcher, and on LiveLeadPlay.com. It's syndicated on their podcast network. Shout out to LiveLeadPlay.com. Appreciate all your support. And appreciate the support of all you underdogs out there. With all of your interest and support of wanting more underdog stuff in 2017, over 13,000 downloads of the podcast. And we continue to trend in the top 100 in the society and culture category on Podomatic out of thousands of podcasts because of you. Today's theme has been on my mind. Country, culture, and calendar not equaling, doesn't equal character. We talked a little politics, talked about the news, talked about the culture. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about the new you, new year culture. Truth is, a lot of y'all out there doing New Year's resolutions, and guess what? 80% of them are going to fail by Valentine's Day, according to U.S. News and World Report research. But I ain't going to leave you hanging. I'm not just going to give you the facts. I'm not just going to say, oh, well. Good luck with that. Hope you're not in the 80%. That wouldn't be very underdog stuff of me. So, I wanted to share with you some things that I've done to truly have a better shot at my New Year's resolutions working out. So, as you know, I've talked about this in previous weeks. I'm not doing any new resolutions until after Valentine's Day. In the meantime, I'm going to share with you three things that I have done that I offer to you to try on, test out as being foundational to the start of your year and not being a part of the 80% of resolutions that don't work out. The example I often use is New resolutions are like if you're a car, putting new tires on the car, getting a paint job on the car. All good stuff. Paint jobs, new tires are important. But if the engine ain't right, if the transmission is not working, if the wiring of the car is off, new tires and a paint job all of a sudden don't feel as useful, do they? And so again, I'm one of those people, life isn't always about either or this is better or this is worse, or choose this or choose that. I'm saying get your paint job, get your new tires on your car, love it. But there's normally steps to this, levels to this. And it's been my experience of any year that I've tried to put a new paint job on my car, metaphorically speaking, and my engine wasn't right, my transmission wasn't working, my wiring was off, then all of a sudden that paint and those tires aren't as effective. You might run yourself off the road and get into an accident, and all of a sudden that paint job's all messed up and so are your tires because you didn't fix the guts, the foundation. Like a home, speaking of foundation, new resolutions are like upgrading your kitchen while at the same time there's cracks in the foundation of your house. How long is that new kitchen going to last if the house falls down? So three things, underdogs, to do before you do your New Year's resolutions. One, go see your doctor. Yeah, I said go see your doctor. Don't, before you write a New Year's resolution, make an appointment. Whether it's your employer, whether it's the clinic around the corner, whether it's your Medicaid, your Medicare, something. Go see your doctor. Make sure your engine is working. What's that saying? Wealth is health. Health is wealth. You ain't going to have a single resolution workout without your health. Not a one. And I say this because I've been that dude that has skipped annual checkups. I've been that dude that hasn't gone to the dentist. I've been that dude who hasn't seen the eye doctor. So I'm not throwing stones from my glass house. I'm sharing from experience. Don't buy new tires for your car if you haven't got your engine checked yet. First thing to do before you set any new resolutions, go see a doctor. Second, do an inventory. Do a resolution inventory. What's that mean? It's kind of a fancy phrase I've come up with, inventory. But what I mean is, figure out three things in your resolution inventory list. What's something that you get to stop doing that year after year after year, you know, gets in your way of you being the person you want to be? For some people, that's stop smoking. For me, I've talked about this before. I'm interested. I'm committed to being in a loving relationship. I get to stop being distracted by multiple dating apps and being on Twitter and Tinder and swiping this, swiping that, and I get to get rid of the distractions. So I got to stop using dating apps, stop the distractions. If you want to get your health in the right place, right? You may have started working out, but you're still eating food that's getting in the way. So you get to stop eating that food. Because as we know, 60 to 70% of our weight loss is driven not by the activities we do, but by our diets and what we eat. So that resolution inventory, what are you going to stop doing that's been getting in your way? Part of your resolution inventory, what are you going to get finished up or complete Like, for example, I still have my taxes to take care of. So before I start talking about my new year 2018 resolutions to be better with money, how about I complete some financial situations or projects and get them closed out and moved on? Get that baggage taken care of. And then lastly, part of your resolution inventory, something I've done before, is what stuff am I going to keep doing? Sometimes a new year doesn't mean that I'm going to do new resolutions. Sometimes it's like, hey, in 2017, I started the Gregory Neesmith Show. In 2018, I'm going to keep doing the Gregory Neesmith Show. Resolution complete. Keep going. Because just because the year changes, the calendar year changes, doesn't mean you've completed your goal. Doesn't mean that you don't get to keep going on something. So like I said, three things I do to give my resolutions, the new ones, a better chance of working out. Because 80% of them aren't going to work out, according to U.S. News and World Reports, and you're probably one of them. By Valentine's Day, finito, fail, done, resolution didn't work out. The new tires, the new paint job on your car, metaphorically speaking, didn't work out because your engine wasn't right. Transmission wasn't working. Your wiring was off. Step one, go see a doctor. Yeah, health is always the new wealth. Ain't a single new resolution working out if we ain't healthy. Not a one. Number two, do a resolution inventory. What are you going to stop doing that's getting in your way year after year? What are some projects, some things that you're going to complete that you've been incomplete on? And then what resolutions from the past few years are you going to keep doing? Because some stuff you're not done yet. Kevin Durant probably had a resolution called, I'm going to win an NBA title. It stayed on his resolution list, I'm sure, for the past 9 years until he recently became an NBA champion and the finals MVP for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. And lastly, the third thing that I've done to set myself up for success before I add new resolutions to my life, to my list, is get some professional help. It's therapist time. That's right, I said it. Get a therapist. Not because you're crazy. Not because there's something wrong with you. Because actually, it's because you're human. It's because you're naturally have moments, things that have happened in your life that you get to talk to a professional about to help you become even more of a functioning individual, to become the best that you can be. And while prayer is good, pray about it. Faith without works ain't working. And while it's good to call up your mama, and while it's good to call your friends up, when I need help with my taxes, I don't call my uncle. I call an accountant. When I need some guidance on the proper workout plan for the fitness level I want to get to, I don't call my mom. I go see a personal trainer. When I want to get my car fixed, and this time I mean literally, not metaphorically like I've been using car in the past. When I want to get my car fixed, I don't call my friend, I call a mechanic. And when I want to get my mental and emotional health to an even better place, in a more evolved place, a more awakened place, a more conscious place, I don't call my dad, I call a therapist. And why am I saying this? Because according to several research studies, a majority of adults and a majority of youth do not seek professional help when it comes to their mental and emotional health. And those are the three things that I do to get the foundation set so that I don't have 80% of my new resolutions fall apart by Valentine's Day. So those are the three. See a doctor. Number two, do a resolutions inventory. And number three, get a therapist. And then if you already have a therapist, get a coach too. Remember, life isn't always about either or. It can be about both. And for those who are saying that they may not have the money, may not have the means to either go see that doctor or to go see that therapist, there's clinics. There's different health centers normally in your community. There's support groups. Check in with your employer. They might have programs there too. But be unstoppable about it. Because getting the engine checked, getting your, metaphorically speaking, your wiring checked, getting your transmission set will all be the foundation needed to then go out and add potentially new resolutions. And it's okay if you don't have new ones to add because you're still working on the other ones. With that, I'm going to take a quick break and then come back with the big finish to this week's show, Country Class. And calendar doesn't equal character. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, a special delivery of underdog stuff. Man, already 2 hours, as always, flies by. It's not Martin Luther King Day yet, so I still feel like I can say it one more time. Happy New Year to you, as always, underdogs and my people, and even the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally found the show. Appreciate you for checking in today. Shout out to all the calls, Deborah from Manhattan, and all the folks checking in on the Facebook Live. Keon, Deidre, Daryl, Asha, all of you, as always, much appreciated. Shout out to the team, Megan, my producer, Kayla, podcast editor, as always, live show every Sunday, podcast Monday, Wednesday, Friday on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, and shout out to all the underdogs that have made this show a top 100 podcast on Podomatic and Society and Culture out of thousands of podcasts, much appreciated. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.